change the culture, the mindset, the expectation level, and improve the brand of Indiana Hoosier football.
It's weird when there's not a ton to talk about. We're kind of in like that dead period of the off season, but there's always something going on in Indiana Hoosiers football land. And Brad, we're here to talk about it.
Yeah, we're here. We're toward the end of the season. There's still a national championship to be played, but basically in the off season, have a whole new roster already before the season's even over. So a lot to look forward to. We've covered a lot of it already so far. But yeah, we're just going to keep up with whatever's going on in Hoosier football land.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a weird time where pretty much every single team in the country season is over except for the two teams that are going to play for the national championship. That's Ohio State and Notre Dame, thus completing the narrative. Obviously, if you're an Indiana Hoosier fan, you know what the narrative is. But Indiana's got arguably the best resume in the country of the two teams not in the national championship. You look at everybody they beat, you look at the two teams they lost to, the disrespect just seems silly at this point. It's literally not even worth talking about. It's not being mentioned anymore. You don't see anybody trying to challenge the schedule or the narrative died with time and it happened quickly. And so I'm glad we can kind of move past that. And I am glad I don't have to root for either of these two teams anymore. Like, I can just go watch a football game, and then it's like, all right, cool, Indiana Hoosiers time, because it was a little painful pulling for Ohio State and Notre Dame at the same time.
Yeah, there are two teams that typically we don't root for, but since we did lose to them, like, I guess you're allowed to do that. But yeah, this awesome championship game Two teams we've all watched for a long time, and I think it's a good, you know, breath of fresh air. You know, haven't seen these two teams in a title game, but they're pretty historically there, so it's cool to see.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah. But I was gonna say we do have a little bit of smoke to get into the most pressing.
There can't be that much smoke.
I guess. No, there's a little bit, and it starts with Penn State's defensive coordinator search. Now, I know you're like, head turn, what's going on? On3 released an article behind their paywall today.
Wait,
which nobody was paying for.
Why is Penn State hiring a defensive coordinator? I thought they had Tom Allen.
That's because Tom Allen took the Clemson job. Tom Allen is now in Clemson, South Carolina, coaching on Dabo Sweeney's staff. I guess
talk about a culture fit.
Yeah, I was about to say huge culture fit. Pump for Coach Allen. I don't know if that's an upgrade. I think that's kind of a downgrade. But he's getting paid a shitload of money, and I'm not sure. I think Penn State wanted to go in a different direction anyway, it appears. So good for Coach.
Yeah, hats off to him. We might see him in the playoff next year. Who knows? Clemson's not going away.
Who knows?
That defense is gonna be good.
But yeah, that does leave Penn State looking for a defensive coordinator, and On3 released their article behind their paywall teasing that they're looking at a Big Ten defensive coordinator. Naturally, the best defensive coordinator in the Big Ten is Brian Haynes. Broyles Award finalist. Did he win it? Actually, he won it, right?
I'm not sure.
Definitely a finalist. I'm almost positive he won the Broyles Award. But like, and Gridiron Hoosier made this point, commenting back to something that I said, but like, this wasn't Brian Haynes' first phone call of the offseason. You'd be a fool if you were an athletic director and you needed a defensive coordinator or even a head coach and you didn't make a phone call to that guy. That being said, I tweeted I was pretty confident that Brian Haynes wouldn't take that job. I'm still very confident Brian Haynes isn't going to take that job. Unless they throw an unbelievable, can't say no amount of money at him, he's not going to leave for financials. And based off of everything he's said outwardly and the passion he showed towards the program and the relationship he has with Cignetti, moving to Penn State to take their defensive coordinator position doesn't really fit any of what he's shown us his character to be, which is I'm gonna stay in the trenches and build this thing because that's where I've been. Now, that's not to be that's like if he determines that's a better opportunity for him, again, just like any, I'm not gonna fault any player for transferring or leaving a school or picking a school. I'm not gonna fault anybody for making a decision they deem is best for their career. But that being said, I'm still confident he's not leaving.
Yeah, he's it's it'd be, I'd be pretty surprised if he left, to be honest. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked, but I would be pretty surprised. He to clarify, he's the finalist. They haven't announced the Broyles Award winner until they don't do it until February somehow.
Interesting.
But with everything we've covered so far when it comes to the increased pay for all the assistant coaches, the assistant coaching pool, whatever you want to call it. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense for him to leave when he's probably going to get paid the same. He's at a point now where he should be waiting out for a power four head coaching job. Is basically I would say where he's at in terms of his career. Like
Yeah, this
be the
almost.
Brent Venables of Indiana. Like eventually get that power four job after long term success as a defensive coordinator somewhere big.
Well, I'm almost. It almost feels like to me that this was Penn State's way of saying we're exploring what life looks like post James Franklin, and this is the beginning of that. Because, again, like, yes, a phone call with Brian Haynes, a must. You have to publicly go after him. He's the best defensive coach in the country. But it's like you said, it making a lateral move doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, why would you leave Indiana when you have all this momentum? You're building all of this. You're recruiting the way you're recruiting. It just doesn't make a ton of sense. But if a year or two down the line, Penn State's looking for a new head coach, like, this is how you start that relationship. And it's like, yeah, would you move out of a defensive coordinator slot for the head coaching position at Penn State? Yes, you'd be an idiot not to take that job.
I don't know if he's going
In
to get Penn
years.
State, but I wouldn't fire
But
James Franklin.
I'm just saying, like, no, I'm not saying I would. I'm just saying, like, maybe James Franklin is looking to get out. I'm just playing hypotheticals, but I'm just saying it's much more likely he leaves, like you were saying, for a power four head coaching position than it is he makes a quote unquote lateral move to a defensive coordinator position to coach against the team he's leading. It just none of it just doesn't match up.
I'd be pretty shocked if he moves. I don't think he's going to do it.
I'm not
It'd
going
be
to sit
pretty
here
weird of him to
and
do it. Just in,
I'm
it'd
not
just
going
be
to lie to you
weird.
and say I'm not on both Twitter accounts right now, just like in case something happens. But I'm not like that's just purely because weird news
You're being
happens around this
paranoid.
time.
You're
I'm
being
not.
paranoid. It always
I
happens
am
when we're
paranoid, but
recording. Yeah.
yeah, I just I'm slightly paranoid, but confident he's not leaving. It's just like whenever an opportunity like that comes open and they start looking at your guys. Like traditionally in the past, like, yeah, of course that guy would get poached from Indiana, but this is Kurt Cignetti's Indiana Hoosiers. This is different. So we'll see how that plays out. And then stiff arming Penn State for a lateral, like what would be a lateral move would be awesome. 'Cause it's just like, yeah, no, you can't just come in here and take our coaches anymore. Like that's not what this is. We're not just a feeder for the rest of the Big Ten anymore. Like this is, we're the A program now.
Yeah, if he left, it'd be a real step back for us as a program in terms of like what we're trying to do culture wise. Like
Yeah, it would. I mean, listen, again, like they still
it'd be
have
pretty like
most.
it I don't think people are understanding how bad it would be. I don't think he does it, which is kind of goes hand in hand,
It would
because
hurt
it would really hurt the message.
100%. Well, it would hurt the message that we're the next superpower in the in college football if then you're what people are going to say your two best coaches get poached. And like Tino was the co-offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach. He left for a promotion. He's taking an offensive coordinator position. He got promoted, he got more responsibility, all that good stuff. That one makes sense. Brian Haynes is already in full control of the defense. There is nowhere else to go up except for taking over a head coaching position. So it would be a little different. And then to only lose Tino, like cool, you were like big loss where you replaced the quarterback's coach. You only have to replace one coach again, to your point about the
Potentially
culture and all that stuff.
upgraded.
Like
Potentially.
yeah, I mean if you want to look at the guys he's worked with, I don't think it's a stretch to say it's an upgrade in terms of resume. Now like we obviously know Tino's a great coach.
Oh
We'll see
yeah.
what happens with Chandler Whitmer. But I'm confident. But it's like, how do you then? It's like, okay, cool. How do you replace Brian Haynes? That's not exactly, you don't just replace Brian Haynes. So it's like, it's again, in years past, I think this would be a fight Indiana wouldn't even have a chance in. But like, you're gonna have to kill the Hoosiers to take Brian Haynes off that position unless it's for a head coaching position. So we're gonna, I'm excited to see how this plays out.
Yeah, very excited because I think he's gonna stay. He's a follower of Sigs and Sai. He's pretty
Yeah.
tuned in to what's going on.
That's what I'm saying. But speaking of recruiting, the class of 2025 is pretty much, I don't know what the official number is or how many of them are actually in Bloomington, but it's like a really good amount. It's definitely double digits, which is really cool. A lot of those guys enrolled early. There was a bunch of them, and this is the only thing I'll say about the basketball game. At the basketball game, they got a group pick with Mike Epps, which was pretty cool, and we'll leave it at that. If you want to see my thoughts on Indiana basketball, check out keysportsnetwork.com. This is Indiana football. But yeah, all those dudes are on campus. They're working out. They're building relationships with each other. It's exciting. And a lot of those dudes are defensive. Like Hollywood Bell was there. I know Kyler Garcia is on campus. I believe Hall's on campus as well. I want to say Byron Baldwin Jr. is also on campus.
Hall is not on campus. Byron Baldwin Jr. is.
Oh,
Stewart,
Calhoun's on campus.
Bell, Bond, Wilkin, Farmer, Kendrick, Calhoun, Parker, Nelson, Garcia, Barker, Smith, and Merrick are all on
That's like
campus.
half the class.
The only not on campus right now are Jacob Bell, Garrett Reese, Hall, Sean Cuono, Blake Thiry, Davion Chandler, Tristan Abram, and Tyrone Burress.
Yeah, so most of the class is already there, already getting acclimated, already learning the playbook, like already working out. Like it's a huge advantage. It's not that the guys who are going to come in the summer are going to be at a disadvantage in terms of where they start their careers, but they're not going to get the head start that these guys are. And having that extra 6 months to build yourself up in the weight room, to learn how to be a college student, and then learn how to be a college football player is massive for development.
100% gets them a head start. That's why you want most of the kids in there early.
And if you were in the transfer class and signed more than 2 days ago, you're officially on the Indiana Hoosiers roster too. So I didn't see it a ton, but I did see it a couple times enough to mention that there was some, like, Fernando Mendoza hasn't posted since he committed. Like, what's going on here? Nothing was going on. He's, off doing Fernando things. We don't know what that is. That's cool. He can do his own thing. I don't really care if he has a front-facing social presence or not, as long as he's, working the way he works and plays quarterback at a high level for the Indiana Hoosiers. Even if he doesn't play, you know what I mean? Like, it's point is he's on the
You
fucking
can do
team. Like,
whatever he
everybody can
wants, yeah.
exhale. Like, it's yeah, Fernando, he can do whatever he wants from now until the season starts. As long as he's prepared to play football, I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, speaking of the transfer
Did we
portal
get
class,
anyone in the
well,
portal? Who did we get?
yeah, we did. Yesterday, safety slash cornerback from NC State with Devon
Devon Boykin, he's gonna
Boykin.
play nickel. He's a nickel corner, so he could play that rover. Probably not gonna play outside. Seems like that's gonna be his way to get on the field. Will be the rover position for him.
Yeah, he's highly productive. Missed the 2024 season due to injury, but was a starter in
Fourth
2023. I
leading
think they got
tackler
one.
on NC State in 2023. He's played a lot for them.
Yeah, he puts his nose in there. They're building depth. It's funny. That was right off the heels of Cignetti accepting the AFAC, right? Or whatever that coaching award. He's won so many Coach of the Year awards that I honestly get them confused. He got it presented with the Walter Camp Award this week as well. But it, like, literally 12 hours after he was on stage, they get the commitment from Boykin. So it's like this, they don't sleep, these guys. They just like win awards and then go back to watching film and recruiting.
It's
That's why
impressive.
they win these
Yeah, they
awards.
got another tight end. They got Holden Stays, who probably doesn't have the production of maybe a Zach Horton coming into it, but definitely like Very similar to Tyler Morris, like just different type of athlete coming from Tennessee. Very excited to have that in the tight end room now. Maybe Blake Teary doesn't have to start as a true freshman.
Yeah, he was a Notre Dame commit, played a little bit as a true freshman. They were super pumped about him. I couldn't really figure out why he transferred away from Notre Dame. And then they really didn't use him at all last year at Tennessee. But like you said, it kind of bucks the mold of production over potential. But the kid's super talented and by all accounts, like an A-plus kid, like high character, high quality individual. So yeah, you bring those guys into your locker room. And if you can figure out a way to unlock the talent, for sure. There was a lot of comparisons between his numbers and Horton's numbers. And maybe while Horton probably, like, I don't want to say he played with more effort because I didn't watch Stays play at all, but like they probably do it in a little bit of a different way. So it'll be interesting to see if we can unlock him too.
Yeah, I got nothing. I got nothing. Stay's gonna start, and yeah, Boykin's gonna play Rover. I got nothing.
Hoosiers Connect is re-signing guys. I don't know this for certain, but from what it appears, it looks like they just do 1 year deals. So they started off with obviously the big guns. They re-signed Aiden Fisher, re-signed Mikal Kamara. This was also kind of like Elijah Surratt's like pseudo and Omar Cooper's pseudo like I'm coming back announcement. Not that either of us or most people were worried that those guys were leaving, but Surratt and Cooper also both signed. So I'm hoping Carter Smith's next. But it's cool to see Hoosier Connect continuing to take care of the guys. Obviously, support Hoosiers Connect. One-time donation, recurring donation, whatever you got, anything helps. But yeah, we're supporting the team, support the boys, and yeah, all that good stuff.
Everyone but Carter Smith announced. He's coming back, though. I'm not worried.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like Surratt and Cooper didn't like p post graphics or didn't post like videos like Kamara or Pons did, but they still. That Hoosiers Connect was kind of their way to announce they're coming back. So be on the lookout for that Carter Smith one as well. And then yeah, we talked about this briefly before the podcast started, and I asked you to kind of hold off a little bit, but you wanted to talk about the final AP poll and kind of where the Hoosiers should sit as the season comes to a close. We opened up talking a little bit about the narrative. Obviously, the two teams Indiana lost to are playing for the national championship. Where does that leave the Hoosiers in the final AP poll of this season?
They should be, they're at 9 right now. They should be at 7 above Boise State and Tennessee after the playoff. I could see them being behind Boise State being 8, but they'll probably end up being 9. It's probably where I'd have it, but yeah, great top 10 finish for the Hoosiers this year. I don't, when's the last time that's happened? That's another historic probably milestone for this program coming off this year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question they deserve to be in the top 10. I don't think there's any question they deserve to be ranked ahead of Tennessee. Obviously, I'm coming at this with an Indiana bias. I believe they should be ranked ahead of Boise State as well. I think you could even argue you could rank them ahead of Georgia. That being said, if I'm going to look at it objectively, yeah, like you, I could see Georgia being ranked ahead. I could see Boise State being ranked ahead. I could even see them putting Tennessee ranked ahead simply for the fact that the rankings were what they were going into that first round, and all the lower seed teams lost. So how can you like I could also be of the mind that you can't justify moving a team up in the rankings because they lost their last game. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? Like it's
exactly.
how can you say Indiana jumps two spots when it's like it's yeah they competed against Notre Dame but they didn't look great. It's like
You
they
shouldn't have
didn't
been there to
deserve
begin
to move
with,
up.
though, is the point.
No 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 no
They
no
should have
no
been
no no.
sat. They should have been ranked above Tennessee.
Oh, okay, okay,
That's what
okay.
I'm
I was like, I
saying.
can't believe you're going back this way. Yeah, no, you're right. I agree. They should have been hosting a game, but that's a different conversation. But yeah, I think like they firmly deserve to be in the top 12 and definitely inside the top 10. And again, when you look back on the 2024 season, like you'll probably talk about Ohio State, probably talk about Notre Dame, and then the third team you're going to talk about is Indiana. And that's something that's literally never happened before. We're in the conversation. Like we are a part of the conversation. That's all we wanted. That's like pretty much a year and change ago is when I first started bugging you about doing this podcast. And we were both looking at Signetti going like, we got something here. Like I really started writing about Sig and what was going on in Bloomington in February. Like I'm going, there's something going on here. But to envision what it became so quickly, like I'm thinking 3, 4 years down the road, like we'll be in the playoff, like we'll be in these conversations, like slow build, all that good stuff. Like to have this accelerated in year one, insane.
Ahead of schedule. It's very nice.
And completely shifted, like completely shifted ahead of schedule. And we had an episode, I believe it was episode 3 or 4, very, very early, where we're like, if we can get to 8 or 9 wins this season, and like beat a team like Nebraska, and this is how we were talking in like July or August, and like beat a team like Nebraska and get into the upper echelon of like that top 6 or 7 teams in the Big Ten, and then like then we can like jump a year in the track. We're past that. Like 1 year, 2 years probably accelerated because of what they were able to do in this season. And it's like the only thing we ever wanted was to be a part of the conversation. Now we are the conversation.
Yeah, I'm loving it. It's awesome. It's a dream come true. Especially for the pod, you know.
But even just as fans of the football team, like you wear Indiana stuff places, and now people can talk to you about football. It's not just like Indiana basketball, which like there's nothing. I love Indiana basketball, but it's like I'm a football fan. I'm a football guy. Like I want to support my school, and I know we're capable of putting the product we've seen out on the field. It's like to see that come to fruition. It's like I'm not crazy. I haven't just been yelling at a blank wall. Like I, it we were capable of winning here, and we can win here, and that could be
And
sustained.
we're going to continue to win here based on what we're seeing so far. Obviously, it's going to, I'd still say it's a pretty, because obviously next year doesn't work out. All of a sudden, we're back to square one.
Well,
Maybe, like, well,
defined
then
doesn't work out
maybe
because it's like,
tempered expectations.
but it's like junior day is January 25th, so that's 10 days from today. The number of graphics that Indiana is starting to appear on, and I know it's kind of a joke, like Hayes Fawcett and all those, like the graphics people have kind of become the insiders of college football and all that stuff. But it's like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Indiana was not appearing on these 4-star graphics. Like they just weren't even in the conversation. The fact that the logo's even on there, like I'm seeing the people are using the bison. Like and it's like to see the logo and the school and the brand being circulated that way, and it's not just like a joke or the guy's like cousin is on the coaching staff or like, no, this is legit, like done the right way recruiting. Grassroots built. And they just did it in such a way that they literally big banged a high level program in Indiana. It's
They
crazy.
big banged it. I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, because it really did just come out of nowhere. Like, never in my wildest expectations did I realistically think that we'd be talking about an 11-2 playoff first round loss type season.
And being disappointed by it.
And
How about
being a little
that?
bummed that we didn't win the playoff game. It's crazy. I think we're going to be better next year, so with a tougher schedule. So lock in. I think we'll be in the playoff conversation for the entire year. We'll see what that final weekend brings us a year from now. Less than
100%.
a year.
And like Fernando Mendoza is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten. They're going to have a kick-ass offensive line. The defensive line, you could argue, got better. Where it's going to be interesting to see how they replace Jalen Walker. And I think Bones Jones and Roe Hardy and a lot of the guys they have in that room are really talented too. We just obviously didn't get a ton of exposure to them this year. I think that's probably, I don't want to call it a question mark because those guys played enough to justify a starting spot next year. But that's probably like the one spot where I'm like, let's see it on the defense. Other than that, like you could argue they upgraded at every position.
Every position room got better depth, and
Depth for sure.
depth is there. Yeah, I can't wait to go through these. We're gonna do like pre-spring, like roster previews, because that's gonna turn over again, and then we'll do a fall one.
Yeah, well, I mean, guys are still hitting the portal. Like, there are dudes from Penn State who still have a couple days to hit the portal, and guys from Texas who still have a couple days to hit the portal. And then after the national championship game ends, which is on Monday, then those teams will each have 5 days to change, like to hit the portal. And then anytime a coach gets fired or moved, like those kids get another window to hit the portal, I believe. So like Penn State, Tom Allen leaves, so the defensive coordinator left. Don't quote me on this, but I want to say that triggers their window to stay open a little longer. I could be wrong on that. It might just be head
Might
coaches.
just be head coaches.
But yeah, we never, like, what if Ohio State gets obliterated in this game and they fire Ryan Day? It's like, I guess all those dudes are fifth years, but like, I'm not ruling anything out. So it's like the transfer portal is far from over. There's also a spring window, so that none of these rosters are set in stone until we get into the end of July, beginning of August, and the teams start coming back for fall camp, and you see
Most of
who's
it
like out on the
it's set
field.
though at this point. Most of it.
Most of it's set, but it all opens back up, so
We
it's
did
like
get
it's
CJ
there's
West last year in the spring.
late spring.
That was big. Big. Literally.
You want to talk about the semifinal games?
Yeah, we picked, we were split on the first one.
Yeah, I nailed the first one.
Yeah, well, I picked Penn State, but I didn't. We were both on it saying that it would be an instant classic. And it was. It's a great
That game
game.
was
It was.
phenomenal. It
It
also
solidified why
single-handedly
we have the
murdered.
playoff. Like at
Yeah,
12.
100%. It murdered Drew Aller's draft stock in the process, but it was an awesome
Yeah,
game.
he's gonna be taking first overall. I mean, he could probably still go and with this class, like probably still go first round. Hope he does, because they don't have Prabula or anyone. And
Yeah, I know he's
Mendoza's
coming.
off the market.
He already said he's coming back. But no, that game was awesome. It was it looked at like for a little bit that Penn State was going to be able to impose their will and pull away, but they just the offense kind of ran out of gas. It really was just Notre Dame took over the game. And it the first half was very much looked like it was going to be a Penn State football game, and the second half was a full-blown Notre Dame football game.
Yeah, Notre Dame proved me wrong. They're well equipped to win a national title where they are right now. They're going to give Ohio State a shot, that's for sure. And yeah, how long was that game winning field goal? Like 37? It was looking right for a second. Imagine.
But yeah,
Imagine if he doinked that.
Jeter hitting kicks again. But no, it's that Notre Dame team's good. And when it came down to it, Riley Leonard outplayed Drew Aller.
Yeah, Drew Aller. The pick at the end with Drew Aller, that was the receiver's
It
fault.
was bad. No, it just wasn't a good throw though.
It was the receiver's fault. He actually threw it where it was supposed to go, but the receiver came back toward the line of scrimmage as opposed to just going flat, and so he lost his edge on the DB. Like an idiot. Losing me money like that. Anyways. They're just kids. But yeah, I don't think, like, I don't know. They're being aggressive. They should have been aggressive there. You got to try to win. Can't just play to not lose. It happens. Penn State's going to be. They're gonna be back next year, and they're gonna be good. I think all the receivers hit the portal. Pretty
Well,
sure.
they brought in the two USC dudes, no?
The
Or at least
Branch
one of
brothers.
them. Kyron Lacy and somebody else. They retooled.
Kyron Lacy, the LSU guy.
Oh no, not the dude who's like in a lot of trouble. Shit. I'm thinking of the other guy.
Wow.
Oh my
I
God.
think
Who
he'd
is
go more so
the
Georgia, if anything.
Damn. Who is the USC receiver who transferred to Penn State? Yeah, that game was an instant classic. Kyron Hudson. Kyron
Dog,
Hudson.
dog, dog.
You could see listen, first names got confused.
They're gonna get
That's what I
Jacoby. Are
was
they gonna
talking
get
about.
Jacoby Lane too? You should get Jacoby Lane.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not that plugged. Yeah, and
Not
then the
that
other game
close.
wasn't bad either. The other game was, I mean, it was close until Jack Sawyer essentially just ran away with
It
it.
wasn't. Yeah, I
I mean,
mean
it wasn't
Texas was hanging
close.
in there. That game was so funny because Texas was playing their hearts out, and then it's just like TreVeyon Henderson takes a screen, 75 yards to end the half. And then it's like, okay,
It's like,
we have first and goal at the, what did they have, third and goal at the one or something like that? They ran toss. They shouldn't have ran toss on third down. What are they doing? Run the ball up the middle. Throw it. Throw it even. Like, don't run toss. Like,
it wasn't great.
it's the worst
It's
thing you
never a
can
good
chip.
sign. Like,
Oh, man.
it
Sorry.
almost it reminded me of two things. It reminded me of, obviously, of Ezekiel Elliott, what he did to Alabama, where it's like the defense should be way too talented to allow that type of speed and space to a running back. And it also reminded me of the first game we ever watched as students at Indiana, the Thursday night kickoff, where J.K. Dobbins took like a crosser at a half and just like remembered he was faster than everybody on the field and nobody could touch him. And it was like, yeah, Indiana was trying as hard as they possibly could. Meter was on 110. It didn't matter.
They fought. I mean, that was a gutsy performance by Texas.
It
To hang
was.
in
And
there.
I was impressed by Texas's defense, and it's like, what do you, like, this Ohio State team is generational. The
They
fact that Mich
had a really
the
good
fact that
game
Michigan
plan.
beat them is insane.
They had a really good game plan for Jeremiah Smith, which I think will translate toward the national title game. Which is, I think we should start getting into now.
Yeah, I think there's no question these are the two best teams in college
I'm
football.
taking Notre Dame in this game. I might be biased. Obviously, I don't want Ohio State to win. Honestly, like in my heart, like I actually want Ohio State to win. I want the Big Ten to start getting a couple in a row here. I think Notre Dame could play spoiler to that here. Which is why I think Notre Dame's going to win the game because I want it so bad. Nothing I want ever really happened, so
Here's my biggest problem, because I'm with you. Like, my heart wants Notre Dame to win this game, because it's like
no, my heart wants Ohio State to
Oh, interesting. Yeah, see, I can't, it's hard for me. Like, I don't need Ohio State's head getting any bigger. Like, I'd actually rather, like, turmoil and, like, panic be going on over there, because we're trying to take their spot. Versus, like, Notre Dame's Notre Dame. Like, they're just, like, off doing their own thing.
That's
They
good.
have
That's a
their
good way
own
of thinking
TV
about it.
contract. Like, it's, but like, what's gonna, and again, like, this is from a sports perspective. This isn't from, like, I don't want, like, anybody's life to be ruined from the Ohio State side, but, like, I want Indiana to take their spot. I want Indiana to be the best football team in the country. And to be the best, you have to take out the best. And so if that's gonna hurt the best, yeah, that's the result that I want, because I want that spot.
Yeah, it's time to chase Notre Dame and not Ohio State. We're not even the best team in the state yet. You know, we gotta start Notre Dame. We gotta catch up to them. That's where our standards need to be. And Notre Dame's gonna win the game. I'm picking it.
That be and
It's gonna happen.
and like Notre Dame does a lot of really good things defensively. Again, the loss of Riley Mills is going to hurt a lot in this game. What they're able to do with their corners, leaving them on islands, is really impressive. Now, they haven't faced anybody that has the firepower on the outside that Ohio State has. I don't think Nobody in the country has the firepower that Ohio State has. Cool, you double Jeremiah Smith and you you take your best corner and put him on Ibuka. Like, cool. They got Tate. They got a bunch of other dudes in that room. They got both running backs. It's like you can only have so many guys. So it's like, if everyone on that Notre Dame defense plays the A-plus game, I'm still not even sure that they can score on offense. Like what does Notre Dame do really well? They run the football, and you can run the football in Ohio State, and they utilize the quarterback run. But it's like these.
They
Notre
were
Dame,
throwing
like,
it on
it's
Penn.
just,
They were throwing it.
this is a better defense than Penn State.
Jaden Greathouse. He's
Yeah,
gonna
he
go
was
crazy.
good. But it's just, you look at the positional matchups, and it's like Ohio State's just better everywhere.
Yes. And Notre Dame is gonna win the football game.
Except for head coach.
Yes. And Notre Dame's going to win the football game.
Notre Dame's a great football team. I just think you need to be special to beat this Ohio State team. I can't explain what happened against Michigan. The excuse from Ohio State fans has been it was the play calling and they just weren't throwing the ball. I just find that hard to believe that they just didn't throw the ball and ran the ball 50 times. But yeah, Notre Dame can figure out a way to shut down Ohio State's offense, and this game is in the low 20s. But I just don't like. Are you confident Notre Dame can get the 35 points?
No, but I don't think Ohio State gets to 35 either. Notre Dame's
I'm
defense is
more
way better than
confident.
Texas. It's going to be a lot like Texas, Ohio State.
Texas's defense is good. Like, really,
Tennessee.
really, really good.
Notre Dame's is better.
Are you sure?
Don't know. Their Texas DC was also. They're both nominated for the Broyles with Haynes. And Texas has the better offense. Oh, it won't matter. Notre Dame, what's your final score prediction of the year, of the season?
I think it's 31-20.
24-21. Notre Dame. Jeter hits another game-winning field goal. Both in the playoffs. The magic
I just think
continues.
it's too tough, especially if you get behind the eight ball against this Ohio State team and they can start leaning on you and running the ball. Like it's really real. I think Notre Dame, if they win the toss, should take the ball and just work 8 minutes off the clock on the first drive. Like I think you really need to turn this into a slugfest, because if this turns into a track meet and you let four get loose, I don't care how good your like freshman corner is, like
Notre
you're getting
Dame
cooked.
has better players on defense than Texas does.
I disagree. I think you could say they have if you want to argue they have the best player out of the two defenses in Watts, I'll hear it. But no, dude, Texas is gonna have 10 to 12 guys off that defense drafted.
Off that defense drafted? No way. Slow your roll.
Not this
Slow your
year,
roll.
but like, dude, they're one of the like
All
talent
right,
wise. Like, go look at the
maybe
blue
over
chip
the course,
ratio and the
maybe
five
all right, over
stars
the
on the
course of a couple
roster. And
drafts, I could see it.
you know how many five stars Notre Dame has on the roster? And now I'm sounding like an SEC school, but like, if you want to talk about talent, like, we have to go to the evaluators, and Notre Dame doesn't have a single five star on the defense. You want to tell me you think they're better coached? I'll hear that. More talent, no shot.
Notre Dame's going to win the football game.
I hope so, but no, I think we're looking at Ohio State, and I think it's rather convincing. Like, if the Oregon game early in the season was played on a neutral field, I'll say it for a third time. I can't explain the Michigan game. I don't know what happened there. Maybe there really is just a
They
hex on
didn't
the
run the
guy, and he
ball.
just.
I mean,
No, I thought they
they
ran
didn't
the
throw
ball
the
too
ball. They didn't
much.
throw the ball.
But how do you go? That's just ridiculous.
That's what happened. I watched. I watched the game. That's what happened. I promise.
But yeah,
They
we'll
didn't throw
see.
the ball. It's
It's
not
gonna be
some
exciting. I'm
weird
gonna be
excuse.
watching.
Chip Kelly didn't throw the ball. It happens all the time. I've seen it before. Trust me.
I'm excited to watch. And then the off season officially begins, even though it's already been going for a month, and then we're rolling. Spring ball ahead, and here we go.
Junior days.
But by default, that is the SoCal hot sauce game of the week.
But yeah, get your four pack of SoCal hot sauce. I like the hot avocado. It's my favorite. They have four different flavors.
Oh, I have
Hot
confirmation. Original
original
red
red
coming
is
back.
back. Hot
Yeah.
red,
Confirmed.
hot avocado, and original avocado. You can get the four pack. Once you go above, four pack and above is free shipping. You can use promo code Six Inside for additional 10% off. It's like stealing candy from a baby. This shit's good, man. Check it out. Promo code Six Inside. It's two words, Six Inside. And honestly,
Yeah,
like,
national championship.
and honestly, with all the fires going out there in Southern California, like, definitely, like, lots of friends affected by that. Definitely take some time to possibly, donate, $10 to the Red Cross fund. Wouldn't be the worst idea ever. Could really help out some
100%,
people.
yeah. Absolutely.
You can follow the Six Inside and Indiana Football Podcast on Twitter at Six Inside Pod. You can follow myself at Bradley underscore Loomis 8. You can follow Keezer at Alec Keezer and check out KeysportsNetwork.com. Pumping stuff out again. I'm gonna start writing on that stuff too. About to pump some stuff out.
Be on the lookout for
Shout out
Brad.
to the boys, Wave, Nick Skrill, Signar. Check out Friends and Collaborators, Instrumental Volume 1 on all streaming platforms. Intro song 19, 16, 21, outro song Butter Symphony takes away.